James chapter 5 this morning, and I want to begin reading in verse number 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord, and the burden that this church has for missions and missionaries, Lord, and I just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for the wonderful week that we've had, the wonderful meeting, Lord, on Wednesday night with Brother Jaggy. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to work and move in our hearts and in our lives even now this morning, God, as we talk about prayer, the importance of the practice of prayer in the lives of us as Christians, Lord. And I just pray, God, that if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts about their need for need to trust Christ as their Savior. And may they do so this morning, Lord, before they leave this building. Lord, I pray that through the message, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd give us strength and Lord, food convenient, Lord, to, Lord, go out into this world, Lord, and be the lights that we need to be, Lord, in this town and in this village. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless now. Meet with us, Lord, in a special way, God. Through the message, speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, on Wednesday morning at 7:30, we're going to meet over here at the Barrow High School. We're going to meet underneath the flagpole at 7:30, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for the state of Alaska. We're going to pray for this region, the North Slope. We're going to pray for this town. We're going to pray for our schools, our teachers, and our students. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Wednesday. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Wednesday morning. Now, some people might think or might have the mindset that, you know, what good is it going to do to pray? I mean, what good is it going to do to meet underneath that flagpole on 7:30 and stand out there in the cold and you know, pray and do this? What good is that going to do? I mean, we're living in the last days. We're seeing our country's spiritual foundations eroded. And what good is it going to do? Well, I don't know about you, but I still believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says in verse 16 of our text this morning, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That Bible verse is telling us that there is power in prayer. Now, I know America is not the country she once was. Spiritually, America is just a hollow shell of what she used to be. And we can complain. We can protest. We can petition the government for a redress of grievances. But until we are willing to humble ourselves and pray, we are not going to make any spiritual headway in this country. We're not going to make any progress. We're not going to do any good. We're not going to accomplish a single thing. John Bunyan once said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. It was Dr. John R. Rice who said, all of our failures as Christians are prayer failures. Prayer is the key to revival. Prayer is the key to spiritual strength. Prayer is the key to receiving wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Prayer is the key to overcoming temptation. Prayer is the key to unlocking the power of God on your life. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I'm just telling you this morning that there's power in prayer. I still believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is one of the most offensive weapons that we have today in this battle against evil and the good fight of faith. Prayer is the most potent weapon that we have, and yet it is the most seldom used. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, knows more than most Christians how effective prayer is, and he does everything that he can to keep us Christians off of our knees. If we were honest this morning, I'm sure that none of us would say that I have arrived or we have arrived in the area of prayer in our Christian life. I think that's an area that we all can grow in, amen? I know that I haven't arrived in that area yet. I know that my prayer life isn't what it should be. But as the pastor of this church, I realize that prayer is the key to this ministry. Prayer is the one thing that's going to keep this thing going, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for this church. I love this church, and I pray for you people every day. And I know that prayer is the key to this ministry. Now, I must admit, prayer is not something that comes natural to me. I have to work hard at praying because my flesh does not want to pray. My flesh does not want to spend time in prayer. Prayer goes against our human nature. Prayer goes against our natural tendency to want to get things done on our own. But you know, revival is not something that we can make happen. Revival comes from God, and God is the only one who can send revival, and God will not send revival unless His people get to praying. Prayer is us saying, God, I cannot do what I am asking You now to do. Now, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what circumstances you are facing in your life today. I don't know what problems that you're dealing with, but I do know that there's power in prayer, and I believe with all my heart that prayer changes things. Because the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This morning I want to show you three things that the practice of prayer will do for us. Three things that the practice of prayer will do for us. First of all, the practice of prayer will bring the peace of God into our hearts. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And find verse number 6. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Often, when we fail to pray, our prayerlessness results in the fact that our hearts become full of cares and worries. And, you know, and that's not what God wants for us. God doesn't want our hearts to be full of cares and worries. He said, be careful for nothing. We're not to allow the cares of this world to fill our hearts and minds. Because if the cares of this world are filling our hearts and minds, how can the peace of God? It can't. And the only way that we can keep our minds and our hearts from being filled with the cares and the worries and the stress of this life is by spending time alone with God in prayer. We need to cast our cares upon Him. The Bible says, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And if we do what the Bible says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the Bible says, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I still believe that time on our knees is the answer to every problem that we face. I still believe that every burden we carry, every problem that we have, we can go to God and we can cast our burden upon Him. And I really believe that there's power in prayer, that prayer will change things, and that God will give us the answer that we need. It's only by prayer and supplication during those trying and stressful times that we can know and experience the peace of God in our hearts. The problem is that when we are facing difficult situations in our lives, when we are facing stressful situations in our lives, we tend to pray less instead of pray more. But the more cares, the more worries, the more problems that we have, the more stress in our lives, that's when we need to spend the more time alone talking to God. I think of Daniel in the Bible, and Daniel back in the book of Daniel. You don't have to turn there, but no, Daniel, he was a man of prayer, amen? But Daniel was a busy man. You read the life of Daniel, and you'll find that Daniel had a lot of responsibility. Daniel was the king's prime minister. He was one of the king's right-hand man. And I tell you what, he was busy. He not only had to take care of his business and do the things that the king had given him to do the jobs that the king had given him to do, he had to oversee the jobs that other people were doing for the king. So Daniel was a busy man. He had his work to do, and then he had to oversee the work of other people. But you know what? He took time to pray. And Daniel did not just make time for a few minutes a day in prayer. The Bible says he prayed not only once a day, not twice a day, but the Bible says he prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And as busy a man as Daniel was, and if ever a man had an excuse not to pray and not to take that time to spend alone with God in prayer, it was Daniel. But Daniel made it a point to spend time alone with God in prayer every day, three times a day. And you know what? No matter how busy our lives may be, we need to make time to pray. We need to make time for prayer. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it good to know that we can go before God's throne in prayer anytime with any problem, and we can cast all of our cares, all of our burdens upon Him, and when we're done, we can get up off our knees with His peace in our hearts. I don't have to hit the bottle to try to forget my problems. I don't have to stick a needle in my arm to numb the pain and try to forget reality. I don't have to rely on psychology or therapy. I have something far better. I have the peace of God which passeth all understanding in my heart. Prayer makes the peace of God available to us. And then prayer brings the peace of God into our hearts. And secondly, prayer brings the power of God into our lives. Through the practice of prayer, God's power is made available to us. In Exodus chapter 17, right after God had miraculously provided His people water in the desert, water out of the rock, right in that chapter, right after that miracle had taken place, in Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says that Amalek came and fought against Israel. The Bible says Amalek came and fought against Israel. Now, the Amalekites were a constant enemy to God's people. They were always giving God's people a hard time. And you know, Amalek in the Bible is a type of the flesh. And let me tell you something this morning. Amalek is after you and me. The flesh is after you and me. And in that chapter, Moses told Joshua, he said, Joshua, I want you to go. I want you to fight against Amalek. And the Bible says Moses went up on top of the hill. And as long as and the Bible says when he got up on top of the hill, he raised his hands toward heaven. And the Bible says as long as Moses kept his hands up, the people of God prevailed. But when Moses let his hand down, then Amalek prevailed. Well, it wasn't long before Moses got tired. Moses' hands got heavy, the Bible says, and he wasn't able to hold them up. And the people of God started to lose the battle. And so they brought him a stone, and they had him sit down on the stone. And the Bible says that Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady, the Bible says, until the going down of the sun. And the people of God won the battle over Amalek. And you know, as your pastor, I'm asking you as a church to lift up my hands in prayer. Help me lift up my hands and pray with me for these ministries in our church and for our missionaries and for the other prayer requests that go out on the prayer chain. I'm asking you to lift up my hands. I need your help. If we're going to win the battle against the flesh, we better spend time on top of the mountain with God. We better lift up holy hands, because without God's power on our lives, the flesh is going to prevail. Prayer is the key to unlocking the power of God. And if we truly want to see God move in this town, if we truly want to see God move in that school, in our elementary school, in our middle school, in our high school, if we truly want to see God touch the hearts of our young people in this town, if we truly want to see God move in this church here, then we better start praying and asking God to do what only He can do. If there's going to be power, there needs to be prayer. Sometimes we rely on personalities, we rely on programs, we rely on plans, our own plans, instead of relying on God's power, and that's what we need. We need God's power. If we don't have His power, we have nothing. When we work. But when we pray, He works. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer gets results. Prayer will get the job done. Prayer brings God's peace. Prayer brings God's power. And thirdly, prayer brings God's provision. Prayer brings God's provision. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, Jesus, speaking about prayer, He said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, or seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him." Listen, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21, "If ye have faith and doubt not, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." When we are facing mountains of difficulty in our lives, when those mountains of difficulty come into our lives, instead of focusing on the mountain, we need to focus on the mountain mover. Amen? Our God is all-powerful. There is nothing too hard for Him. He can do anything. He can move the mountain in your life this morning. All you have to do is ask Him. And you know, sometimes God allows difficulty to come into our lives just to get us on our knees, just to get us on our faces before Him. Prayer is asking, and God delights in answering the prayers of His children. God delights in giving His children what they ask for. Now, if you've got a problem in your life this morning, if you've got a problem maybe with an addiction, if you have got a problem with maybe smoking or drinking or some kind of other addiction, listen, why don't you just ask God to help you stop? You don't think God can do it? I think God can do it. Have you asked Him? If you have a problem this morning in your family, maybe a marital problem, maybe a problem with a relative, why don't I ask God to intervene? Why not ask God to intervene in that situation? Maybe you're having financial troubles. Go to God. Ask Him to help you in that situation, in that area. He can do it. He can do it. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He wants to help us. Whether we need it, whether our need is physical, whether our need is spiritual, He wants to provide for us. And I don't know what your need is this morning, but I do know this, that God still hears and answers prayer. And I've seen it in my life time and time again. God answers prayer. And back in James chapter 5, I know I'm turning everywhere in the Bible this morning, but that's good. We need to get familiar with the book. Amen? Some Christians, they go all week without touching the Bible, and the only time they open it up is on Sunday morning. But in James chapter 5, here in these verses, mention is made of the prophet Elijah. Now, why would James, the apostle, mention the prophet Elijah here in this chapter? He's talking about prayer. Why would James mention the prophet Elijah? Obviously, the prophet Elijah had an impact on the life of the apostle James as he read about the life of Elijah in the Old Testament. Now, Elijah was a man of prayer. And even though he lived during a time of apostasy, as did James, James was living in a time of apostasy, as so are we. But, you know, Elijah was blessed to see God work during that time, during that awful period of time in the nation of Israel's history. Elijah saw God move. Elijah saw God do some wonderful, mighty things. We think we have it pretty bad today. We complain a lot today about things that are going on in our government and things in Washington and about the Democrats, and my dad calls them Demoncrats, and that's about right. I'm sorry, I don't. If you're a Democrat here this morning, I'm just joking. Don't take me seriously, please. I know I'm not supposed to give advice about who to vote for. I'm just telling you, you know, go to the polls and vote for the Republican of your choice, and you'll be fine.
No, I'm not.
I know there's some good people in our government. I thank God for them. We need to pray for them every day. Amen. They need our prayers. But you know, Elijah had a lot going on in his day. Elijah had to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. I mean, two of the most wicked, ungodly people that you'll ever read about in the Bible. Elijah had to deal with that crowd. We think we've got it bad today. But Ahab and Jezebel were so wicked and so corrupt, and they did so many wicked things. They did everything possible to destroy the spiritual foundations of the nation of Israel and cause problems for the man of God. They did everything within their power to destroy Israel's spiritual foundations and to make trouble for Elijah. They wanted to turn the nation of Israel from a God-fearing country into a country full of Baal-worshipping heathens. And Elijah was the only man standing in their way. See, how did Elijah handle Ahab and Jezebel? How did Elijah deal with the apostasy that was going on in his day? I'll tell you how he did it. He prayed. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. He prayed passionately, and God heard his prayers. In 1 Kings chapter 17, a tragedy happened. The widow of Zarephath's son fell sick, and the Bible says Elijah cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again." And the Bible says that God heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came and revived that child again, and he lived. What an answer to prayer, amen? What a miracle. In 1 Kings chapter 18, after the prophets of Baal had cried aloud unto their god Baal, their false god, all day, and they had cut themselves with stones, and they had done everything they could to get Baal's attention without any answer, without Baal answering or paying any attention to them, the Bible says Elijah prayed. And the Bible says the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the fire of God fell upon the altar of sacrifice and consumed it. What an answer to prayer, amen? Elijah, I'm telling you, Elijah was a man of prayer. Elijah was a man who could get a hold of God. But here in James chapter 5, Elijah's prayer for the widow's child is not mentioned. His prayer on Mount Carmel is not mentioned. The prayers of Elijah that we're reminded of in this chapter are the prayers that brought judgment and then relief to the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verses 17 and 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God blessed. God sent revival. Elijah was a man of prayer. And even though he lived in a wicked time, God heard his prayers and God answered them. Elijah prayed for God's judgment to fall on the people of Israel. And the famine did come. There was a famine for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, not one drop of rain fell in the land. But during that whole time, God took care of his man. God took care of Elijah. Maybe we need to quit praying for God to bless America. Maybe we need to start praying that God would judge America for her sins. Maybe we need to go through a spiritual famine in this country before we'll start seeing people get right with God. I don't know. But I do know Elijah probably wasn't a very popular man during this time. I mean, he prayed that God wouldn't send rain, and God didn't send a drop of rain for 3.5 years. He probably wasn't too well liked in the nation of Israel. I know Ahab and Jezebel didn't have a very high opinion of Elijah, the man of God. But Elijah prayed for the judgment before he prayed for the relief. And when the relief finally did come, the whole nation of Israel, including wicked King Ahab, was ready to listen. Jezebel, she was cut off. There was no hope for her. But Ahab did listen. He was more willing to listen after that 3.5 years of no rain. He was ready to listen. The Bible says in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the earth, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God refreshed his people because of one man's fervent prayers. One righteous man's fervent prayers. And I believe with all my heart that he is able to do the same for his people today. He is able to do the same for you and for me today. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And listen, folks, today America needs healing. This town needs healing. We've had some tragedies happen in this town in the last couple of years. Just recently, we've had some terrible tragedies happen. This town needs healing. The only way we're ever going to see the hearts of people in this town turned towards God, the only way we're ever going to see lives transformed in Barro, in a place like Indonesia, is through prayer. If we want God's peace to fill our hearts, then we need to pray. If we want God's power on our lives, then we need to pray. If we want God to move in our midst, then we need to pray. Prayer brings God's provision. And we need God to send His showers of blessing on us today, now more than ever. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and its truth. Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts about this area of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people of prayer. Lord, help us to be a people who know how to get a hold of you. Elijah knew how to get a hold of you. His prayers were effectual. His prayers were fervent. His prayers got results. And Lord, prayer is the key. I believe that with all my heart. And we can complain, we can gripe, we can talk all we want, but until we're willing to humble ourselves and pray, nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change. And Lord, I pray that you, Lord, speak to our hearts about that need for prayer, Lord, in our lives, for effectual, fervent prayer in our lives every day, for the problems that we're facing, for the conflict that is going on right now here in Barro, Alaska, against good and against evil. Lord, we are living in days of apostasy. We are living in the end times, just as Elijah was faced with wickedness and sin. Lord, we are faced with wickedness and sin also. And Lord, we need you, Lord. I believe that you can do what you did for Elijah. I believe that, Lord, you can do anything. And Lord, we sure need those showers of blessings to fall. We thank you for the mercy drops that have round us been falling. But Lord, I pray for those showers of blessings to come. I pray for those showers of blessings to come upon this church, upon this people. Lord, I pray that you would move. I pray, Lord, that on Wednesday, that as we gather around that high school, and Lord, as teachers and students come to join us in prayer, that, Lord, you would move mightily, and that, God, you would answer, that you would hear. In your name I pray, amen. We're going to sing a song this morning in closing. Scott, would you come? I believe it's hymn number 430. Let's all stand and sing Showers of Blessing. Maybe God spoke into your heart. Maybe you need to come forward and pray. I don't know. Maybe God spoke in your heart about the need for you to get saved. Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost. If you would like to come this morning and have us show you from the Bible how you can know for sure where you're going when you die, we'd love to do that. We would love to help you in that area. But maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you need to talk to the Lord. You need to talk to the Lord about some problem in your life, some situation. No better time than now to come and to pray as we sing.
teardrops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessings. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor your word. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we
dismissed. Thank you for coming.